Well, it's definitely a joy to be back here tonight, and a privilege to be a part of this time of the life of the students who are taking the next step in their life and ministry. Never counted just take it for granted the things that God is doing in the lives and ministry of our young people. My wife and I have been associated with New England Baptist College, I think, now for the last 5 years. And coming through, checking it out, and seeing what was going on, and then sending our one son, and then our second son coming up here. And we've had a time of enjoying to interact with the students, get to know them. Many of them we know them on a first-name basis, and we appreciate that. And it's just our joy to see how God is continuing to use New England Baptist College. And everywhere we go, we do represent and try to encourage people to come to New England Baptist College. And I don't say that because my kids are here. I say that because of what I see. When we come up for a visit, students know that we are in the classes. We've been to Dr. Brown's class. We've been to Brother Townsend's class. We've been to Brother David Townsend's class, Brother McKeever's class. So we kind of want to know what's going on so we can better recommend. And one of the things that we have just struck our lives is the investment that goes in to the lives of the young people that are here at New England Baptist College. I don't believe you'll find a better place to send your young person to have God's influence on their life as they surrender to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we begin, it's a special time for the seniors. I'd like to thank Central Baptist Church and New England Baptist College, Pastor Townley, Pastor Boyle, all the teachers and laborers, and not last but not least, the parents that have influenced and made it possible for the children and for the young people to be here. And underestimate the influence you're having on the young people. And I'm so thankful for what they are doing. Now, that's not to minimize the graduates this evening. We understand that they have put forth much effort, much blood, sweat, and tears to get to this point. Some more than others, but needless to say, you've arrived at this point in your life. And for those graduates of 2022, we congratulate you on a race well run and a job well done in reaching this milestone in your life. Some of you, or many of you, have finished your last project. Amen. You have attended your last class. You have eating the last cafeteria meal, or maybe not, you may get another one. Remember those days, all right? Pretty soon, you'll spend your last night in the dorm. Amen. You know, that's life changes after the dorm life, amen? And so you have much to look forward to. And God has given you tools for the next phase of life in ministry. You've been equipped with the job that lies ahead of you for however God wants to use you. But it's your responsibility to take those tools that God's given you and put them to use. If you think about the last 4 years, you probably remember that your greatest lessons came from outside the classroom. Times you spent maybe out on your bus route or spent out in doing other ministries. And those were the areas where you were investing in or practicing your ministry, investing in others, the things that were placed in you. But it's a good reminder that learning doesn't stop just because you receive a diploma. Thomas Edison said this, "I have not failed. I just found 10,000 ways that won't work." So understand that there's a life ahead of you. I found this interesting. As a graduate, don't forget to thank those who helped you here. Google, Wikipedia, coffee, and copy and paste. Amen. When I was going to college, it was the Encyclopedia Britannica, paper, pencil, the dictionary, library, and in my case, my girlfriend, who's now my wife, helped me get through college. But some of you don't even know what Encyclopedia Britannica is yet, so you'll get to that. As you think about your service for the Lord, there are some practical principles that I believe that will help you as you prepare for the next phase of your life. Life comes in phases, comes in different times and measures for different people. And you've been preparing for ministry, but you're in the ministry. You're not waiting for a diploma. God has called you. God has placed you. And many of you will be leaving this place to go to ministry. You'll be going to serve in, whether it be a school teacher, maybe missions, maybe a pastoral or assistant to pastor or secretary, wherever God's prepared you to do. But you are going out from this place with a purpose and goal in mind. If you have the call of God in your life, then the Lord has placed you in a ministry. You may have less experience than others, but nevertheless, you are here at this juncture in your life to do the will of God and do whatever He's called you to do. I guess if I would speak for the teachers and those that are here, as well as the parent, we are looking or hoping for true greatness in your life. We want you to go and we want you to succeed in doing what God wants you to do. Someone has stated true greatness is, or understanding true greatness, the cap, the gown, the robe, the crown, the titles of today, like mist before the morning sun will surely pass away. Conceal your learning while you may, nor list to emulation. Let others seek the road to fame, strive not for reputation. The hill is long and hard to climb that leads you to success. True greatness, after all, is just a test of usefulness. And so your greatness is not what you're going to achieve in life. Your greatness will be how useful you are in the hands of a holy God. God has prepared you. God has placed you in a place that you can serve Him. As I was thinking about something I could say to you coming from my heart, just dealing with missions, dealing with young people coming to Baptist missions, Forgotten Peoples, I jotted this down. Don't let your education and accomplishments cloud your common sense. It is a balance of both. Your education and accomplishments are tools to enhance your ability to use your God-given brain. So use your brain, guided by the Holy Spirit. As you go out, you have a tendency to seek fame. You have a tendency to see what I can do or make a name for yourself. And I think very well placed this morning, it's not about who you are, it's about who He is in your life. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight I want to give you some principles to live by. These are things that are that I apply in my life. These are things that I think will help you as you think about your service for the Lord. So take your Bibles this evening to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter and chapter 1. I think if I had a person in the Bible that was on the list of least likely to succeed, I think probably Peter would be at the top of the line. If you know anything about the life of Peter, you'll know that he was always the one that kind of stuck his foot in his mouth. He had the impromptu, always coming up with these massive ideas with no way to follow through with it. He was always the one running ahead of everything and running ahead of the Lord. And he actually got rebuked by the Lord. And it looked like at the very lowest part of his life that he was kind of put out of the ministry. He just did not think before he spoke. His tongue would run in fast gear, and his mind would never catch up with it, seemed like. But if you think about Peter, and now we have in the Bible two books dedicated to him. You say, how in the world did that happen? A man of least likely to succeed, yet he ends up in the Word of God as an example to us. Right. I kind of want to compare Peter to our college life. The Peter we see out in the beginning is kind of like the freshman year. You come in, your eyes are wide open. Man, I'm going to conquer the world. No one's ever gone this way. I can do this. And as you go through your freshman and your sophomore year, you kind of figure out the ropes. You kind of figure out, well, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Reality begins to set in. And some people have real struggles in their sophomore year. Like, man, this is just getting hard. But then you push on through, and then you finally make it to graduation, and you say, well, you know, that it wasn't as bad as I thought. I actually can do this. Actually, I did make it, so praise the Lord for that. Peter is talking here in 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give a diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so as an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know him and be established in present truth. Peter is writing and he's giving some instructions. I want to make some applications to this portion of Scripture to our seniors, to those that are moving on. Again, we have many lives of ministries. We have different directions people are going. We have all walks of life. But I think putting these principles in your life will be a very helpful to you and will guard you and keep your mind and life on the right track. The greatest tragedy of anything is a Christian sold out to God that fails. A Christian that has dedicated her life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and wind up out of the ministry, out of doing what God's called them to do. And so our desire for you, seniors, as you go out, is to take God's calling on your life. Make it sure. Make sure you're doing exactly what God's called you to do. Make sure you're in the center of God's will. Don't deviate from what you've learned. Don't deviate from what's been implanted and invested in your lives. So with that in mind, let me give you a few principles to live by. Number one, if you're taking notes, remember this. Make much of Jesus, and he'll make much of you. Make much of Jesus, and he'll make much of you. In verse number two, the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning and firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence or might have first place. And so as you think about your ministry or think about where God's going to take your life, understand that Jesus Christ must be the center of your life and must be the center of your ministry. Everything you do must go under the eyeglass or the magnifying glass of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, am I doing what's right? Am I thinking correctly? Is what I'm doing biblical? Is it the way you would do things? It's not about you, it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we get out of the way, the more we allow God to work in our life, the more we allow him to control our mind and our thoughts and our actions, the more we'll be able to accomplish for him. But the day we begin to move him out of first place, when we make ourselves number one, then we begin to have problems. Let me encourage you, don't pursue greatness. Pursue servanthood. Pursue being a servant. I know I've said it here many times as I've preached, but I still believe the greatest title anyone could ever have is the title of a servant. As you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll place you in different areas of ministry. He'll put you up. Let him be the one that puts you up. Let him be the one that drives you. Let him be the one that elevates you to whatever he wants you to be. Make much of Jesus, and he'll make much of you. If you were to ask my wife and I, we've been married 33 years ago. We started out in ministry as 21-year-olds. If you would have told us that we would be doing what we're doing today, I would have told you, not in your life. This is not what I imagined. It's not what I even thought I'd ever be doing. But you see, it's not about me pursuing something. It's about my life being controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ. As a young boy, I surrendered my life. God, take me. Use me. Wherever it may be. Wherever you may send me. Why? Because my love for the Lord Jesus Christ has to come first. It's above my ambitions. It's above what I desire in life. It's what he desires for me. Amen. Make much of Jesus and he'll make much of you. You serve others well by serving the Lord first. Your Lord Jesus has to be the number one in your life. And as you dedicate yourself to him, as you're pursuing his calling on your life, you'll be better equipped, better able to serve others and help them along life's journey. So number one, make much of Jesus. He'll make much of you. Number two, make much of your family and they will encourage you. Make much of your family and they will encourage you. Look with me in verse number 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in his present truth. He said, Brother Lyons, what in the world does I have to do with family? Well, as I was looking at this, I was trying to figure out how I was going to approach this. And I just, as growing up, one of the things that we've listened to and heard over the years, my mom is 92 years old. And still, when I go home, my mom reminds me of some things that she taught me when I was a kid. She is diligent to make me not forget some important lessons in life. My mother-in-law lives in Orlando. We go down and we get some time together. I sit with her, and she begins to remind me of some important truths of the Word of God. Both these ladies are very, very loving ladies and love the Lord and are interested in giving things to their children and to their son-in-laws. Growing up, my parents were very insistent on knowing that I had some rules down, that I knew how to be obedient, that I knew how to respect others, how I learned to respect other people's property. I learned how to be the right type of young man as I was around a young lady. I remember when I was growing up in Africa, my mom every Sunday would have us set the tables. Now, don't get all upset. It's okay. Men can set tables. But she did that for a reason. We were in the jungles of Africa. I'd never been to America, but she taught me how to put plates on the table, where to put the forks and the knives, and how to set a table. We'd take turns as kids to seat our mom. Why? So we learned how to treat a young lady when we grew up and we had our own. Make much of your family, and they will encourage you. Over the years of ministry, our greatest cheerleaders have been our family. My parents, my in-laws, my sister-in-laws, their families, my brothers. They're the ones that have encouraged us over these years. But those of you who are going out and low willing, I know some of you are getting married this summer. I don't know who you are, but some of you are getting married this summer. You're going to be beginning families and you're going to be in ministry doing things. Some of you may not getting married now, but you will in the future, Lord willing, God, if God leads. So just to give you some things to put back in your memory. Number one, your family is your first ministry. Your family is your ministry, for if you lose your family, you do lose your ministry. Involve your family in ministry. Work together to serve the Lord. One of the things my wife and I have done over all these years is, and our children can attest to this, our greatest times of family when we were serving the Lord together in church. Man, the church picnics and the church vacation Bible schools, we would be all at the church and cutting and painting, and we didn't know what we were doing, but we had a good time doing it. And get out, passing out tracts, doing things in the community, out meeting people. Why? Because we were involved together serving the Lord. So let me encourage you, make much of your family. And they will encourage you. Now, many times in lives of different people, your family can be your biggest discouragement. Sometimes parents don't want to release the kids. Sometimes parents want to hold on to their children and say, no, it's okay, but only so far. We're of other philosophy of children, that God has given us children on loan from God to prepare them to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So they can go out and serve the Lord. We did our best at home to try to prepare our children for life and for ministry. We sent them up here, and you have completed that process. And we worked together to get young people prepared for life and for ministry and for whatever God has for them in their life. Make much of Jesus. He'll make much of you. Make much of your family, and they would encourage you. Number three, make much of the people with whom you serve, and they will love you. Make much of the people with whom you serve, and they will love you. Verse number 7 of our passage says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. It doesn't take much to be kind to those who are around you. Learn to be kind. Proverbs 3:27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You'll be around people. You'll be serving with people. You have influence over others. Learn to be kind. Learn to be considerate. Learn to consider their needs and consider what God's doing in their life. Be patient with others because people were patient with you. Brother Townsend and I were talking before the service, thinking about when we first went into ministry. Wow. Some people had some real patience with me. I remember my first sermon at 14 years old. I still have it on a cassette tape. I know some of you don't know what that is anymore. It's on a cassette tape somewhere in my storage. And sometimes when I did have a cassette player and I could listen to it, I'm like, wow, I wonder why anybody would ever listen to me. People had patience with me. People have had patience with you in your college. I'm sure your teachers many times, as they smiled at you as they went out of the classroom and then went home and said, what am I going to do with that student? How in the world are they ever going to make it? And they're going together and huddling, so we got to pray for the student. There's no way. It's not going to happen. People were patient with you. Learn to love on others. Learn to be kind. Never be too proud to praise others for what they're doing. God has allowed us to be in several ministries where God's allowed me to be in charge or whatever, and I really tried my best to encourage others because I realize that I cannot do it alone. A wise person is a person that knows his own limitations. I was watching the students here Saturday night as they were singing and performing and doing all. I'm like, man, all those gifts passed me by. I didn't get any of those gifts. Man, they can sing and play and pick and grin and all the rest of it. You know, it was wonderful. But realize you're going to need help as you go in life. Get people close to you that can help you and encourage you. Get some friends in ministry. Get some people you can count on. Some people you can go to for counsel that's going to help you. Surround yourself with those that will enhance your ministry. Make much of the people with whom you serve, and they will love you. We have friends in this place tonight. Went to college with. And believe it or not, we're still friends after all these years. We have friends. I have someone called me the other day and said, Brother Lyons, we haven't seen you and Rachel in a long time. Would you please come by our house? Friends we were in college with. And they've been a blessing and a help to us over all these years. You're making friends here. Don't walk away from those friendships. Don't say, hey, I'm done, I'm out of here. Cultivate those relationships. They will strengthen you. They'll help you. They'll encourage you. So make much of Jesus, and he'll make much of you. Make much of your family, and they will encourage you. Make much of the people with whom you serve, and they will love you. Number four, make much of the Bible and it will strengthen you. Make much of the Bible and it will strengthen you. Verse number 5 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue, what? Knowledge. What's that knowledge from? Knowledge is from the Word of God. Believe it or not, when you walk across this platform tomorrow and you get that certificate, you don't know it all. There's more to learn. When I went to college, I was a straight C student. If I got a C, I was, woo, praise God. I struggled with studying. And I graduated, I thought, man, this is it. No more studying for me. I am done. I do more studying now than I ever did. But you make much of the Bible, and it's going to strengthen you. Psalm 119:05 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the most important relationship is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you grow in that relationship in the Word of God. Someone has said that the easiest place to backslide is in a Bible college. Why? Because you're used to it. You hear it, like preacher said, you eight sermons a week. You hear it in class. You hear it here. And it begins to become something mundane or something you get used to. Never get used to what God's done in your life. Keep it fresh. That the Bible will be the most important book that you possess. Now I realize there's authors and there's people who write, and I'm not against all that. But your main source of information is your Word of God. That's where you need to spend time. Know the Word of God. Never get too busy in ministry that you do not have time to prepare for the ministry. Man, ministry is taxing. I watch Pastor Townsley, I watch Pastor Bull, and some of these guys running around here, man, they're just all over the place. Man, they can do five different things. Looks like they have it all together. Now, I know better in the background. It's like, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through the day. But on the outside, it looks like, man, they've got everything under control. But they couldn't do what they do unless they spent time in the Word of God. Their strength comes from their relationship with Jesus Christ. Their strength comes from them growing and growing and growing. And even after they have given you the instruction and given you what they need, no, they still have to grow. We still have to grow in the Word of God. As you grow, others will grow along with you. But if you cease to grow, then those behind you will not grow either. Make much of the Bible and it will strengthen you. Number five. Make much of your prayer life and it will sustain you. Make much of your prayer life and it will sustain you. Verse number 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. That divine power comes through prayer. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be careful for nothing but everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Can I help you this evening? The ministry is hard. The ministry can be disappointing. But the ministry is a blessing as you allow God to work in your life. But it's going to take a continual prayer life to be able to go and complete God's call in your life. Someone said, ministry is hard. It's not for the faint of heart. It used to be a cliche that people used to say, and I think probably Brother Townsley may have heard this around Tennessee Temple. Well, if you can't do anything else, be a missionary. I have issues with that. That's just a pet peeve of mine. Obviously, no one's ever been a missionary before or been a pastor or been in ministry full time. You know, like, well, you know, just try everything else. Just if you can't do it well, you can be a missionary. No. I think every young person, no matter where you are in life, ought to at least say, Lord, here's my life, first of all. Can you use me as a missionary? Can you use me as a pastor? Can you use me as a pastor's wife? Can you use me in ministry? Then if God says no, then you go out to other areas and say, well, maybe I can be a judge, but I'll be the right type of judge. Or I'll be a policeman, but I'll be the right type. I'll be the Christian policeman. But our first allegiance is to whatever God wants in our life. And we present ourselves and say, God, here I am. Take my life and use it. It takes dedication. It takes commitment to serve the Lord. Many times our prayer life will be the only thing that will sustain you as you serve the Lord. Over 33 years of ministry, there's been sometimes of very low points of ministry. There's been times of great discouragement. There's been times when we looked around and said, Lord, I don't know. I don't see a way out of this one. I think we're pretty much done here. But every time we went to the Lord in prayer, he always would solve the issues. Be faithful in your prayer life. Make much of prayer or your prayer life and it will sustain you. Last of all, make much of the Holy Spirit. He will empower you. Make much of the Holy Spirit and he will empower you. In verse number 4 of our text says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption as in the world through lust. That divine nature was the moment as we talked about this morning of salvation, when the Holy Spirit of God came in and took up residence in my life and he changed me, made me a new creature in Christ. And that divine nature took up residence in me. And the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ with strength and me. I know as independent Baptists we kind of get a little fidgety when we start talking about the power of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. But does it minimize his power in our life? Paul says his main desire, whatever happens, his main desire is that the power of God would rest on his life. And young people, the one thing if you need to pray for, one thing you need to seek, one thing you need to desire in your life is that the power of God would rest on you. You lose the power of God in your ministry, you're done. You're done. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The strength for service comes from the lack of self and the dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. To serve God in your own strength is a secure failure in your life. You must understand that it's not your ministry. It's not your life. It's not what you want. It's God's will working through you to accomplish what He desires, what He wills, and what He wants to accomplish through you. It is His power that enables us to serve with grace and persistence. Someone asked me not too long ago, what was one of your greatest fears as a minister or as a missionary? Some would say, well, learning a new language. Yeah, that's pretty scary. I've got Spanish down. I'm pretty good there. But I thought if I had to go to Germany, learn German, man, I don't know, I could do that one. Drove through Hungary one time, and all those words with no vowels in it. Like, how in the world do you pronounce a word like that? A mile long. I'm like, you couldn't do that. Think about going to Asia and learning some of those tonal languages. Yeah, that's pretty scary. But the thing that scares me the most is losing the power of God in my life. Need to be willing to do anything to keep the power of God on my life. So recapping tonight, some things to remember. Make much of Jesus, He will make much of you. Make much of your family and they will encourage you. Make much of the people with whom you serve and they will love you. Make much of the Bible and it will strengthen you. Make much of your prayer life and it will sustain you. Make much of the Holy Spirit and it will empower you. Tomorrow you'll be coming across the stage and you'll be receiving a diploma. And you'll be receiving your accolades and all that goes along with graduation. You'll be packing up and moving out and on to the next phase. Some of you are going into ministry. Some of you are going to school and are going to be teaching and those type things. Other people are doing other things. But these are some principles by which you live by. As a dad, I found this. I thought it would be important to share with you. It's called As You Grew. As you grew, no matter what happened, we looked at the sunny side of life. As you leave, take with you the wisdom to focus on the good of life. As you grew, we helped you to avoid unnecessary worry. As you leave, remember that 90% of what you worry about never happens. As you grew, we encouraged you to be open and direct. As you leave, never lose your honesty with those with whom you speak. As you grew, we helped to help you find solutions. As you leave, always remember there's a solution to every problem. As you grew, we encouraged individual thought and action. As you leave, continue to be independent and persevere when faced with life challenges. As you grew, we reinforced the value of family and friends. As you leave, always make time for family and friends. As you grew, we shared many happy times. As you leave, always take time to laugh every day. As you grew, we emphasized money is not happiness. As you leave, always cherish the simple things of life. As you grew, we encourage you to live each day. As you leave, take with you the thought that each day you are given is a gift from God. Time is precious. Be a good steward of your time. Young people, we are excited for you. We know that God has great things for you. But it has to be because you're willing to surrender your life to whatever He has for you in life. Hope that maybe in 20 years you'll come back to the college and you'll be able to see what God's done with your life. I promise you, it's not what you're gonna, not what you're expecting. Life will take many turns. Life will have challenges. Your expectations probably won't be met. Some might. But don't get discouraged, because God is working on you to make you what you ought to be. God is working on you, molding you. See, your training doesn't end when you cross the stage with a diploma. You just move up to a higher stage of learning. That stage of learning is called life. It's called life. And all those things that in theory you had in your head, you learned on a book or on a page or on a test or an exam, and all of a sudden those things become reality. And it's only by the grace of God that you're going to be able to follow through, be faithful, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't underestimate the Lord. Be willing to give yourself freely to Him. Allow Him to use you in ways that you would never expect. We're praying for you. We love you. And we're excited to see how God's going to use your life. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight.